Last summer, the Cheyenne Police Department launched the Homeless Empowerment Action Team, or HEAT. Police officers and the director of Cheyenne's homeless shelter, the Comia House, went around town and talked with homeless people.
They made sure homeless individuals knew the rules regarding trespassing, panhandling, and public intoxication, and warned them of the penalties for breaking those laws. They also told homeless individuals about services available to them. The goal was to help the homeless get back on their feet and make them law-abiding citizens.
The HEAT program wrapped up in November, and the police department recently released a report about it. We're joined now by Officer Dan Long and Robin Zimmer, the director of the homeless shelter. Long says the program went well.
After we started this HEAT program, we saw a 115% decrease in public intoxication citations for transient individuals.
But I understand that, the public intoxication did increase again later.
Yes, then that was for the month of October. In November, you saw that increase of public intoxication. And that could be attributed to the recidivism rate, where we have these multiple offenders that were issued the citations, and the sentence or the punishment for that citation was not any different than prior.
And Robin, I see you wanting to jump in here.
We have always seen an increase in relapse during November and December because of the holidays. And so we weren't at all surprised to see numbers increase in November, just outside of the HEAT program. We always pay attention when it comes close to holidays because those are major triggers for people that are struggling with chemical addictions.
Now, Officer Long, you mentioned recidivism, and obviously one of the goals here was to reduce the recidivism rate. Having people in jail multiple times was costing the city a lot of money. What was the effect on the recidivism rate?
It did decrease. And in the months prior to the implementation of the HEAT program, taxpayers were paying almost $63,000 for jail costs for transients. And it was continuing to increase. Once we started the HEAT program, you saw that increase stop and it started to decrease.
Robin, I wanted to turn to you for a little bit. Obviously, when the team went out to talk with homeless individuals, you basically did two things. One, you made sure that people knew what the laws were and what the penalties would be for breaking them. But also, you wanted to make sure that people knew about the resources that are available to them, that they knew about the Comia shelter, things like that. But from what I understand, most of the people that you contacted actually didn't want to take part in those social services and chose to stay out on the street. Why might that be?
The biggest reason, and like the study has shown, is because alcohol is a driving force. We have a no-tolerance policy at the shelter, as do most shelters. And so for someone who is really struggling with addiction, they're not going to be able to stay sober. And some of them don't want to because it's just harder. It's a lot harder to get sober than it is to drink. And so for them to, we say to them, well, if you come to the shelter, you know, if you stop drinking and come to the shelter, we'll help you. That's not an option for them.
So what can be done for people like this, for people who are either addicted to alcohol or drugs, or for some other reason have some barrier that they can't really take advantage of the services that are available? What more can be done for that segment of the population?
Well, ever since probably in the early 90s, there's been a change in attitude towards serving the homeless. And prior to that, we were all taught that we dangle this carrot in front of our clients and say, if you do this, then we will provide this. And they've all failed. They relapse. They continually go back to the behaviors because it doesn't work that way. So now the new attitude is you give them housing regardless of anything else. There's no catch. There's no you're just not bribing them in any way. You give them housing. That's it. Once you take away the chaos of being homeless, you take away the fear of, you know, are my clothes going to be here in the morning? Is someone going to steal my stuff? Am I going to be able to sleep here again tomorrow? How will I eat? You take away that fear and you take away all that chaos, and the individual on their own identifies, you know, ways that they start to think of plans for themselves. I don't really need to drink anymore because all of these things are gone. Like we've said before, it is a self-medicating type of a thing. And so housing is really the number one focus now, is how do we find shelter for these individuals who are on the street? The rest of it will follow, but the shelter is our number one focus.
So are there plans for opening a wet shelter in Cheyenne?
It's in the discussion stage. We're doing the planning, the research. You can't just jump into something like that overnight. It really does take a lot of planning, a lot of coordination, a lot of cooperation and buy-in by the community. So it's just something that we are definitely researching.
Now, you worked at a wet shelter at one point,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
What was the result there? I mean, when people came in, did they actually, if alcoholics came in, let's say, did they actually end up stopping drinking and find jobs and sort of turn their lives around?
You know, it wasn't open long enough to see that much of a result, but in the 6 months that this particular shelter operated, we saw a major decline in alcohol consumption. We saw some people go to treatment, and it wasn't by any demands that we made. The individuals chose on their own to use less and less. We set a top blood alcohol level, but that was more for safety reasons. If you blew, and it was high, a 0.275, which would be deadly for the, you know, the average human being. But if you were higher than that, we took you to the hospital because then you were in severe danger. Anything below that, you could stay. By the end of the 6 months, the average blood alcohol was below the legal limit.
One of the things that you talk about in the report that you guys put together after the fact was that you learned a lot about the homeless population. I'm curious for either of you whether you'd talk a little bit about what sorts of things you learned that you sort of hadn't known before.
I don't know if it was so much that we hadn't known, but that we just kind of put in the back of our minds or maybe forgot, trust. It takes a lot for someone who's been on the street or who is mentally ill or struggling from addiction to walk into a business, into a bunch of strangers and say, help me. A lot of folks need you to come to them and say, I want to help you. It's just human nature that we don't ask for help, but if someone offers, we're more likely to accept it. And so it helped us come in contact with the people that, for whatever reason, were unable to walk through those doors and ask for help. And it helped, I think, with the trust, with their pride, because they felt like someone was kind of prompting them to do it. So they were a little bit more receptive. We did have some people that came in and got help. They didn't stick around for very long. Again, it was the alcohol that was kind of the driving force taking them in the other direction. But we were really pleased with just, you know, the conversations that got started. So it was really positive in that regard.
Why did you decide not to continue the program?
Well, I mean, we're looking at this as a pilot program to actually implement the program and then taking a step back and actually looking at the results, actually analyzing the data and deciding where to go from here. A couple different ideas, like Robin said, is all in the discussion stage. One possible maybe transformation of the HEAT program would be the DART team, the Downtown Area Alcohol Risk Reduction Team, where we're actually focusing on the alcohol, which is found to be the driving factor.
Okay, well, Robin Zimmer and Dan Long, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robin Zimmer is director of the Comia Homeless Shelter, and Dan Long is with the Cheyenne Police Department. We were speaking with them about the Homeless Empowerment Action Team.